May what I speak, may what you hear, be in the name of the God of love, who creates, redeems, and sustains every single one of us. Amen. Please be seated. A verse from the Gospel, Luke chapter 6, verse 20. Jesus said this. He said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." About 2 years ago now, a YouTube video of a baptism service went viral. Within just a few days of this baptism video being posted online, over 15 million people watched it. 15 million. And when I saw this YouTube video for the first time during the week, I could see why. Let me tell you about it. The video is of a baptism which took place in Tbilisi Cathedral, Tbilisi being the capital of Georgia. And the priest doing the baptism that day was the patriarch, the head bishop, of the Georgian Orthodox Church, Patriarch Ilya II. So far, so good. But this Orthodox patriarch had what we might call a rather unorthodox method of doing baptisms. If you watch the video, what you'll see is this. He picks up the baby to be baptized, turns it on its head, and then dunks it, rather like you might dunk a biscuit in your tea, dunks it three times, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in the font. You'll be relieved to hear, Gabriel, and his mum and dad, that we don't do baptisms like that here at St. Edmund's. But I kept thinking of that upside-down baptism video as I was studying today's upside-down gospel, the Beatitudes from Luke. Because if there's one part of Jesus' teaching above all others which turns conventional wisdom on its head, it's the Beatitudes, yeah? If there's one part of Jesus' thinking which turns everything we think we know about life upside down, then it's the Beatitudes, isn't it? Let me explain what I mean. You see, Beatitudes were actually very common at the time of Christ. Beatitudes, that's sayings about what makes for a blessed and happy life. These were 10 a penny. There were lots of Beatitudes around. Let me tell you some of these conventional Beatitudes. Here's an example. "Blessed are the wise, for they shall be fooled by nobody." Here's another one. "Blessed are the strong. Their enemies will fear them." "Blessed are the wealthy, for they will never go hungry." Yeah. You can see already, I'm sure, how different these are from Jesus' Beatitudes. Instead of "blessed are the wealthy," Jesus says, "blessed are the poor." Instead of "blessed are the strong," Jesus says, "blessed are the hungry." In other words, Jesus asks us to think again. Jesus invites us to think again and ask ourselves if there isn't, in fact, another very different way of looking at and living our lives. But the problem is, I think, that many of us, including me, many of us have heard these Beatitudes so often that we've become a bit immune to their radical nature. Perhaps when you hear the Beatitudes read in church by somebody dressed up in a fancy robe standing up in a pulpit, you think, oh, that's just your typical religious language. I'm not quite sure what it has to do with me and my ordinary everyday life. Yeah? Well, if that's the case, let me try a different approach today. Because I've already read the New Revised Standard Version of the Beatitudes, but now I'd like to read to you a contemporary paraphrase translation of the Beatitudes. This paraphrase in ordinary everyday language comes from a version of the Bible called The Message. Maybe some of you have heard of it. Written by an American scholar, priest, just died last year, I think, Eugene Peterson. And The Message sold millions of copies around the world. And The Message, I think, captures something of the radical nature of the Beatitudes. I've put the text, by the way, on your service sheet so you can bring it home and read it. But for now, just listen. Just listen to this. First, we have the blessings. You're blessed when you've lost it all. God's kingdom is there for the finding. You're blessed when you're ravenously hungry. Then you're ready for the messianic meal. You're blessed when tears flow freely. Joy comes with the morning. Count yourself blessed every time someone cuts you down or throws you out, every time someone smears or blackens your name to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort, and that person is uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Skip like a lamb, if you like. For even though they don't like it, I do, and all heaven applauds. And know that you're in good company. My preachers and witnesses have always been treated like this. And then we turn from the blessings to the woes. Jesus says, but it's trouble ahead if you think you have it made. What you have is all you'll ever get. And it's trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself. Yourself will not satisfy you for long. And it's trouble ahead if you think life is all fun and games. There's suffering to be met, and you're going to meet it. There's trouble ahead when you only live for the approval of others, saying what flatters them, doing what indulges them. Popularity contests are not truth contests. Look how many scoundrel preachers were approved by your ancestors. Your task is to be true, not popular. To you who are ready, I say this. Love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst in you. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer for that person. If someone slaps you in the face, stand there and take it. If someone grabs your shirt, gift wrap your best coat and make a present of it. If someone takes unfair advantage of you, use the occasion to practice the servant life. No more tit for tat stuff. Live generously. Here's a simple rule of thumb for behavior. Ask yourself what you want people to do for you, then grab the initiative and do it for them. Beautiful, eh? Eugene Peterson's version of the Beatitudes. And there it is, the common sense, the conventional wisdom of the world turned upside down. And you know, I think when you think about it, that's a good description of what it means to be baptized. That's a good description of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. A follower of Jesus is someone who has glimpsed something of the paradoxical nature of God's truth. A follower of Jesus is someone who is captivated by the upside-down nature of the kingdom of God. A follower of Jesus is someone who looks at the way things are, at the common-sense view of the world, and says to themselves, I think it should be the other way around, maybe. Yeah. So, for example, I'll give you some examples. St. Francis of Assisi, remember St. Francis? St. Francis was the follower of Jesus who saw the upside-down truth that true riches, is not the amount of stuff you get, but the amount of stuff you give away. Or more recently, Martin Luther King was the follower of Jesus who saw that the dignity and worth of a human being has nothing to do with the color of their skin, but everything to do with the content of their character. And it's the same calling, I think, for you and me, for all of us who are baptized. We too are called to live by the grace of God, called to live the upside down teachings of Jesus. Teachings like, you want to be a leader? Then learn to be a servant. Teachings like, you want to get back at your enemies? Then love them. Love the hell out of them. Teachings like, you want to get rich quick? Then give. Give to all who need it. You see, the upside down truth of the gospel, the upside down truth of life is this. It is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. It is in dying to self that we are born to fullness of life. So today, Gabriel, yes, Gabriel, today on this, your baptism day, we will not literally turn you upside down and dunk you in the font, but we will pray that by the grace of God, you will live your life according to the topsy-turvy truth of the gospel. We pray that all of us who are baptized, that we will be turned head over heels, that we will be turned upside down by the only one who really knows which way is up, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.